Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Empire Life Investments conference call. Today's discussion may include forward-looking information that are based on the opinion and views of Empire Life Investments or the individual presenting. These views are subject to change and are not investment advice. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Paul Holba. Please go ahead, Mr. Holba.
Thank you, Elena, and thank you everyone for joining us today. Good day, good afternoon, good morning for some of you. I am your host. I'm Paul Holba, Vice President of Distribution at Empire Life. As you know, Li Wang recently took over management of the Empire Life Elite Equity GIF, and Ian Hardacre recently took over management of the Empire Life Canadian Equity GIF and the Empire Life Canadian Equity Mutual Fund. So Li and Ian are here with me today. They're both co-managers of the Empire Life Asset Allocation GIF. We made changes to these funds. They were previously managed by Nasim Mansour, who recently left Empire Life Investments to join Fiera Capital. We wanted to take this opportunity to provide you with an update on Li and Ian's investment process and their plans for these funds. Before we do that, however, I'd like to ask Mark Sylvia, President and CEO of Empire Life, to say a few words regarding our investment team. Mark, over to you.
Thanks, Paul. I just wanted to say that for many of you who have had faith in our organization, the faith is not misplaced. We are continuing to be a value-oriented investment organization, and we continue to do our bottom-up work on a value basis for any individual stock that we're looking at, and continue to make our macro calls based on sound fundamentals. So none of this has changed. We have had some turmoil, and we haven't had turmoil internally, but there's a perception that there's turmoil because Galen left at the end of July, and more recently Nasim left. We are in the process right now of working towards finalizing the appointment of a new chief investment officer. We recognize how important an issue this is to all of you and to our organization. We've been a bit slower in making this decision than we would have liked, and we are proceeding post-haste. But the key for us is to make sure that the person in that role believes in the fundamental value-oriented approach that we have towards investing, and that we will be continuing to provide service to you and your clients that's consistent with how we've performed over the past decade and even longer. So I just want to emphasize that we fully recognize that there is some concern in the marketplace because we've taken this long, but we're moving post-haste. So I'm going to make a little bit of a comment about the departure of both Galen and Nasim. These were not departures that we were anticipating or hoped to see happen, but it's a byproduct of our industry that when other organizations see success in a field of endeavor, that they start to look over the fence and take a look at the other organization and say, I would like to have some of what they have. So there's a way of looking at this. Galen got an offer she couldn't refuse, and she went with our best wishes to a well-known organization, Centrum. Nasim got an offer he couldn't refuse and went over to Fiera. These are two major organizations in our industry, yet both of them felt that people who worked for Empire Life Investment had skills and abilities that they wanted to bring into their organization. So in some respects, it's a compliment to what we've been doing. In other respects, it is a challenge for us, but one that we'll overcome. We've always been team-oriented in our investment approach, and I can say with a lot of conviction that Lee and Ian both possess the skills and abilities that will allow us to continue to offer the same type of investments, results that we have in the past using the same investment philosophy. And I'm thanking them openly at any opportunity for stepping up and being willing to jump into this void so that we can manage our way through it and then enhance our team so that we can continue to provide the sort of service and value investments investment approach that we have in the past. So that really concludes my comments, but I just wanted to make sure everybody understands that the ship is steady and we will be taking steps to add additional capacity to make sure we continue to provide the service and capabilities we have in the past.
Great. Thanks, Mark, and thanks for your comments. I'll formally introduce both Lee and Ian. Lee has more than 20 years of experience in the investment industry and extensive knowledge of our Canadian portfolios, having co-managed the Elite Equity Fund in the past for a three-year period of time, as well as managing some of our other Canadian equity portfolios before Lee were appointed as Senior Portfolio Manager of U.S. Equities in December of last year, 2015. Lee also manages the Empire Life American Value GIF. Ian brings over 20 years of portfolio management experience to the team, and he was most recently as Vice President of Canadian Equities at a very large international investment management company, where he and I were fortunate enough to work together there. His value-oriented investment philosophy is well-aligned to our beliefs here at Empire Life Investments. Ian also manages the Empire Life Dividend Growth GIF and the Empire Life Dividend Growth Mutual Fund. And as Mark said, both Lee and Ian will continue to manage the funds using a conservative, value-oriented investment philosophy, just an approach that you've all become very accustomed to. So I do have some questions that I have. I also have some questions that people have sent to me to ask you, gentlemen. So I've organized those in a format. So I'll ask Lee, I'll ask you some questions, and then Ian, I'll ask you some questions, and we'll go from there. Lee, you previously managed the Empire Life Elite Equity Fund. How do you manage the fund going forward?
Well, Paul, as you mentioned, I've co-managed this fund in the past for a period of 3 years, so I'm quite familiar with the structure of the fund and also the category that it competes in. So what I can say is that the management of this fund will continue to be a team-based approach. So what I mean by that is I will lean on Ian, obviously, for the Canadian equities portion of the portfolio. I will lean on Amber for the international portion of the equity portfolio, and I obviously do U.S. And the asset mix decisions, we will use the asset mix oversight team as a resource to decide on asset allocation decisions. And so all of these things that I'm mentioning, this is not a departure from how this fund has been managed, since I got here 7 years ago. So it's consistent with how it's been done, regardless who has been the named, manager on this fund.
Right. So now, having looked at the fund again, are there any changes that you plan to make?
No, nothing significant. I would say, things are basically, business as usual. I mean, there are no surprises in any of the fund holdings or asset mix weights or decisions. And there are no surprises because, we do have a very collaborative team environment. So I was, fully aware of how Nassim was managing the different portions of the portfolio and where he was underweight and overweight in terms of the different geographies. So just because, he has left doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm encountering a portfolio that holds all these surprises and we have to make all these significant changes. So definitely no significant changes planned at this point.
Perfect. Moving on to the asset allocation GIF, how are you and Ian going to co-manage this fund?
Well, Ian and I will collaborate on the asset mix decisions, and the Canadian equities, as many of you probably know, represents the biggest piece of that portfolio. So Ian will obviously have a lot of influence over that portion of the portfolio. And remember that this asset allocation portfolio can literally go anywhere in terms of asset classes or geography. So there's a tremendous amount of flexibility in terms of deciding where to gain exposure, what asset classes or geographies to underweight and overweight. And again, I want to bring up that, the Asset Mix Oversight Committee will continue to be a resource for these asset mix type of decisions. And I also want to mention as well that literally everyone in the investment department contributes to asset mix decisions. So what I mean by that is that every 2 weeks, all the equity people and all the fixed income people gather together, and we meet and we talk and we discuss and we debate. And the goal of the meeting is to tweak, refine, and to finalize where the asset mix should be. So again, this is consistent with how things have been done since
no changes, business as usual.
Right.
No problem at all. And you sort of touched on my next question, was how the asset allocation decisions are made. So that's thank you, because it's like a very important fund for us. One of the best performing funds in the Canadian segregated fund market, and best selling fund for a considerable amount of time, and a very large fund for us. So happy to see it's in good hands, co-managed with you and with Ian. So Ian, I'm going to ask you some questions. How do you plan to manage the Empire Life Canadian Equity GIF going forward?
Okay, well, thanks, Paul. I mean, in terms of process, obviously, as pointed out earlier, just one person leaving doesn't change things. So value-oriented investment style, fundamental bottom-up, stock-by-stock. It's the same way Nassim was managing, it's the same way the whole team manages it. So nothing changes along that line. Another positive is that the portfolio has about 40 companies in it, which is basically the exact amount of companies that I manage with. So we're not going to see, an extension of the number of names or shortening of the number of names. So basically 40 companies is the target. The portfolio is very high quality companies, the grade A companies within Canada. Obviously I'm very familiar with the companies because I've managed Canadian equity for a long time. So there's no, as Lee mentioned, there's no surprises in the portfolios. I know all the companies, and it's well positioned for the most part. Obviously the question is going to come up, what changes? Obviously I had time to go over the portfolio. There'll be very, very minor changes to the portfolio in the near term and the intermediate term. One or two companies here, one or two companies there, but for the most part it's going to stay the same. Now, obviously that can change over time with changes in the market. As markets evolve and companies evolve, we can make some changes. But in the near term, there'll be very, very minor changes. I'm happy the way it's positioned, and so going forward, it'll be the same.
One of the questions that I had is within the Elite Equity Fund, the Canadian equity component, you're managing dividend growth as well. So just so we confirm for everybody, Elite Equity, the Canadian equity portion looks like which sleeve?
Yeah, it'll stay in the format it's in. I'm not going to take the dividend fund growth fund that I manage and move it into any of the different sleeves. So there'll be one Canadian equity portfolio across, and then the dividend growth fund will stay the way it is. There are always overlap. Obviously, the Canadian market's a small market, so there will be overlap across the names, but there is already. But the sleeves will stay the way they're currently managed.
Do you think we need to go in more detail? One of the questions, too, I get is, that's a lot of assets, a lot of different funds for Ian and for Lee to manage. How does that work for you? How does that look?
Yeah, no, good question. And Nassim was running the Canadian equity portfolios, and there's a number of different portfolios, but it was one model portfolio. So it's really one portfolio across all the different sleeves. So the same 40 companies, for the most part, are spread across all the different sleeves. So even though, optically, when you look at it and say, well, that's a lot of different portfolios, it's really just one. It's the same 40 companies that we need to follow. So in terms of additional work, for sure. I mean, there is additional work that goes with it. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm familiar with the companies, followed them for a long time. I've owned almost all of them at one point in time in history. So the extension of the work is not in any way overwhelming.
And the same with respect to U.S. equity.
If we want to get a bit sort of nuts and bolts or technical, there is a model portfolio, as we call it, for, let's say, the U.S. Equities. And essentially, the funds that have exposure to U.S. equities, those funds mirror this model portfolio. And so I can even point to, for example, in the asset allocation fund, you know, there's a Canadian equity piece, there's a U.S. equity piece, and there's an international equities piece. So it wasn't the case of one portfolio manager picking stocks for all three components. What I mean by that is there in the U.S. Portion and in the international portion, it's not like Nassim was picking stocks that are not in the existing model portfolio that we run for U.S. and international. So essentially, he would have been cherry picking what he felt were the best ideas from the U.S. portfolio or the best ideas from the international portfolio and placing it into the asset allocation fund.
Okay, got that. So then, I guess to get super technical then, in managing one fund, one large pool of Canadian equity assets, if you, and not to say that this is a company that you're buying or selling, because that would be a forward-looking statement, but if you were to add Encana into the Canadian portfolio, you would simply put in a buy order to say for to buy Encana, and then we have tools that allocate that? How does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So if in that example, if we were to buy Encana or BCE, it's one order that's spread across all the portfolios at this exact same weight. So there's no preference. It goes across everything. So it's a model portfolio. It goes across all the different sleeves of the Canadian equity fund. Clearly, my dividend growth fund is different than that. That's a separate fund. But when it comes to Canadian equity, one order is spread across equally across all the different sleeves.
And everybody gets the same price.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah.
And so that's, again, the advantage of having everybody here, everybody managing all the money in-house here, is we all go through the same desk, so to speak, to make sure that things are done properly in a nice format. So thanks. Gentlemen, anything else you'd like to add to the comments that you've made today?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would add is, and it's been mentioned earlier, is processes stay the same. I mean, clearly, losing people's not great, but, you know, the process stays the same. The funds aren't going to change drastically. Often when you have portfolio manager changeover, you have a new portfolio manager coming in and changing all the names in the fund. That's not the case here. The funds are going to stay the same in the short term and the intermediate term, and we continue to go forward.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the only other thing I'll add is, you know, as Mark mentioned at the onset, you know, as we add additional resources and people, you know, it's going to nothing will change once that happens as well. I mean, the process is still in place, and it'll be nice to get some more people. But in the meantime, we're functioning fine as it is.
Good. I'll leave any comments about the current state of the market till after we go past next Tuesday, because obviously some things happening, and I think we've got some commentary planned right after that to get out to people. So keep an eye on our on our website and emails that you get from us. We'll be sure to get some commentary following next Tuesday's election, because that might have an impact on where things are going. I would like to thank Mark for his comments initially to start off our call regarding our CIO search, which, as he mentioned, is a very high priority for us and something that both Mark and individuals at the board level are taking very seriously and making sure that we're spending the necessary time to get the right person, the right fit with the great team that we have today. Ian and Lee, I would really like to thank you two for stepping up over the last week to help us through this transition, which, as you say, from a fund management standpoint, isn't that much of a transition at all. But you two have been there for us, and you're here today to help us through this call. And I encourage any questions that people might have to go through your account executive, your Empire Life sales team. I am going to thank all of you who have called in today. It's a Friday afternoon in parts of Canada, getting towards Friday lunch hour in the West Coast. If you if you didn't get a chance to listen to all of this call, or if you have colleagues you think would benefit, we are going to send a link out shortly on our website for the playback number for you to listen to or listen to again if you'd like to. Again, I'd like to thank both the participants on our call and for all of the advisors who have called in today to be a part of this call. On behalf of myself, the entire team here at Empire Life, we thank you very much for all of your support. It's been another great year for us from a performance standpoint, from a sales standpoint. We look forward to continuing to build those excellent relationships with you. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Holba. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.